It's the Friday before Christmas, and this is your Friday Night SmackDown review here for December 23rd, 2022. You know what else it is today? I mean, obviously, we have people in the chat talking about how it is Christmas Eve Eve. Obviously, tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Do you know what today also is? Today is maybe the best day of them all. Today, and I came prepared tonight. Today, there it is. It is Festivus. It is a Festivus for the rest of us. I brought my poll. I told you I would. I went out and I got the best poll because, look, Russo Elf brought me this poll. I didn't have to go to Home Depot. I didn't have to go to Lowe's. I didn't have to leave the house. All I had to do was pick up the phone and make a phone call. I knew exactly who to call if I needed a poll. And Russo Elf has delivered us an aluminum poll. As per tradition, there it is. But yes, it is everyone's favorite non-commercial alternative to Christmas. It is indeed Festivus. We will not be having the feats of strength because I'm too lazy to do that tonight. But I do have some grievances that I will be airing. You didn't think we'd have a Festivus celebration without the airing of grievances, now did you? So we'll talk about my grievances here after tonight's filler episode of SmackDown. It was a taped holiday filler episode of SmackDown. Not a whole lot to really get excited about. Fun main event, but that's about it. There really wasn't much more to it than that. But before we go on, I do want to mention here, we'll get rid of this poll here. The poll will reappear when needed. So Russo Elf will keep that poll nice and safe for us a little bit later. But I do want to just send well wishes to anybody who is in a state right now that is under any kind of emergency. It's pretty scary out there. They have this cold weather, bad storms. We had bad wind earlier. The lights were flickering here, you know, in the apartment. Thankfully, I didn't lose power. But I know some of you may have. Some of you may not have been as lucky. So hopefully, wherever you are safe and do not have to go out in this because it is going to get very, very cold. It may already be very cold where you are. The cold is going to hit us here in New York tomorrow. And then by next Friday, it's going to be 50 degrees again. But it is going to get kind of scary out there. So hopefully everybody is okay. I also want to give a shout out to someone who is not with us live. He had to bow out a little bit early. But Joshua Edwards is the man. Joshua Edwards, he delivered like Santa Claus even before we went live tonight, before SmackDown even went on the air. Joshua Edwards gifted 25 memberships to people here on this channel and people who are in the live chat. That's why you never know, you know, hey, you got to show up early because you never know what may happen. 25 channel memberships gifted, the gift of Joshua. And I want to thank him. I'm sure he'll be watching this tomorrow. Thank you again. It was very kind of you. Christmas came early for people here on this channel. Of course, you can also purchase your own membership if you would like to. Memberships are open. We had the Bloodline out first to open things up, the entire Bloodline. We've had Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman were out with Solo Sikoa and Sami Zayn and the Usos down to the ring. Now, remember, for those who don't know, this was a taped show. They taped two shows last week. There was no show tonight. There is no Raw Monday. They're going to have a big show, their post-Christmas show at Madison Square Garden. But they wanted to give their production people a week off. So no Raw Monday, no stream Monday night. Everyone's kind of, you know, that time of year. Everyone's getting all lazy, waiting for the new year, start fresh. WWE is not waiting until the new year. We have a big SmackDown coming up next Friday. That's December 30th. That's going to be one of the biggest shows of the year. We'll talk about that later. But we had the Bloodline out to open things up. Michael Cole plugged the huge tag team match in Tampa next Friday night. It is going to be the return of John Cena. He is going to get in right under the deadline. All he needs is one match, and he preserves his record of wrestling at least one match every single year for 20 straight years. And he is returning in his hometown next week, hometown being where he is now. It'll be John Cena and Kevin Owens taking on Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. That is the big main event next week. So we got highlights of what happened last week. And he said that it was a test for Sami Zayn to see if he can help solve their Roman Reigns, or rather their Kevin Owens problem. That's what Michael Cole said. So Paul Heyman started things off. He said that it would be two historic weeks in a row for the greatest faction of all time. First, the Usos would successfully defend their tag team titles tonight against Hit Row. Then he said next week in the beautiful warm city of Tampa, Florida, it's going to be Solo Sikoa taking out Sheamus, along with the biggest televised match of 2022, which of course is the John Cena tag team match I just mentioned. Roman asked for the microphone. He said that he's made millions of dollars smashing John Cena and Kevin Owens, but he's curious what Sami Zayn is going to do. He said tonight he doesn't look like the Sami that he knows. He looks a little flustered. He looks a little irritated. And he did. Sami was not his usual jovial self. So Sami Zayn said that he should be on top of the world right now, because he has found the only things that he has ever wanted, and that is respect and the feeling of belonging. Like he belongs to something, which he does. He says that he belongs to the Bloodline, the hottest group in WWE of all time. He says everywhere they go, the crowds also chant for him, and everybody started chanting his name. He says you would think that it would put him on top of the world, but it doesn't. He says there's this black cloud hanging over his head, and that black cloud is called Kevin Owens. Last week should have been a great week for him, but it was ruined not by Kevin Owens, but by his mere existence. He said the fact that KO's name has been tied to his name for his entire career is just absolutely ruining his life. It is driving this man nuts. So he was getting more and more intense and serious as the promo went on. He said next week they would leave Owens and Cena mangled, because when you step to the Bloodline, you get smashed. Roman was smirking. He had a smirk on his face throughout the entire thing. And he gave Sami a big hug when it was over. As he hugged Sami, the camera got a tight shot of Roman's face. He was grinning from ear to ear. He was mouthing something to Kevin Owens in the camera. I couldn't pick up on what it was. But he's playing Sami like a fiddle. Playing him like a fiddle. Sami was great here. He was not, as I said, his usual jovial, happy-go-lucky self. He looked frustrated. He looked angry. All Roman Reigns had to do is just, he didn't even have to speak, really. He didn't say much. He told a story with his facial expressions and the smirk at the end. But I thought that this was a good little promo here to set the stage for what we're going to get next week in the tag team match, where I expect Sami to eat the pin for his team, which will then set Kevin Owens up to be the next challenger for Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. That is how I see that playing out next week. And in many ways, honestly, even though I thought the main event was fun, this really was the high point, or one of the high points of the entire show. After this, there was a noticeable decline. Case in point, we had the undisputed WWE tag team titles on the line. It was the Usos defending the championships against Hit Row, everybody. Hit Row is here. We had Flop Dollar and Ashanti the Adonis after their big win last week out to challenge for the tag team titles. Michael Cole suggested that Hit Row might want to stay grounded this week, which after last week I would say would be sound strategy. So Ashanti and Jey Uso started the match. Top Dollar tagged in quickly. Jey took him down with a chop block. Easiest thing to do. If you're in the ring with Top Dollar, all you need to do is go after the knee. He's got granny knees. So all you have to do is go after the knees. Surefire way to take the guy down. So that's what they did. They attacked the knee. And again, no surprise that they would do that. They dominated Top Dollar through a commercial break. Ashanti tagged in. He started a comeback on the Usos. Cleared Jey from the ring, landed a tornado DDT on Jimmy. Ashanti was fine here, actually. You know, Adonis looked good. He followed up with a top rope crossbody on Jimmy for a near fall. After a distraction from Jey on the apron, Jimmy caught him with an ugly-looking Samoan drop for a two count. Jey tagged in. They set up for 1D. Top Dollar, though, pulled Jimmy from the ring, shoved him into the ring steps. Ashanti landed a super kick on Jey. Hit Row connected with their heavy hitter finish and had the match won, seemingly. Jimmy, though, got back in the ring, broke up the fall just in time. Top Dollar tried to pick up both Usos. He had one on his shoulders. He picked the other one up, but couldn't support the weight. His knee buckled, and he fell to the mat. Usos gave him the double super kick and the 1D for the win. Where's the poll? My first grievance of the night. Thank you, Russo Elf. My first grievance of the night tonight. This was bad. This was bad. I was trying to think if there has been a worse tag team title defense by the Usos during this 500-plus day run that they have been on. And there may have been something maybe that I'm not thinking. I'm trying to think. Actually, WrestleMania this year, when they had the match with Nakamura and Rick Boogs, and Boogs' knee buckled, and he tore something. I forgot what it was. It was ACL or whatever it was, and he got hurt. The Usos were the champs at that point, I believe. Were the Usos champions at that point? I believe they were. So that may have been a worse match. But I am hard-pressed to find very many matches in this run that Jimmy and Jay have been on that have been as dull and as bad as this one. And it's not surprising because last week I said this is going to be an important match here for Hit Row. But I said it would also be the most heatless tag team title defense by the Usos that we have seen. And it would have been had they not been piping at a bunch of fake crowd noise, which they were clearly doing tonight, especially here and in the women's gauntlet. It was very noticeable. I'm sure being live in the building, and yes, I know it was the second taping and people get tired, I know, but this was early in the taping, the second taping. I'm sure that being in the building, this match had virtually no heat. And there was nothing from Hit Row in this match. Ashanti was fine, I guess, you know, I mean, nothing special, but he did fine. But Top Dollar just kind of drags the whole thing down. And so it played out, you know, pretty much the way that I figured it would. But again, they have a developmental system for a reason. And Top Dollar, having seen him now several times, is somebody who would benefit by being back down in that developmental system. Probably all three of them, frankly, would benefit by being back down in that developmental system. Having seen them ever since they came back, they have been a flop. You can call him Flop Dollar if you want to. Because I didn't see anything here that would make me go, oh, wow, Hit Row belongs, or wow, Hit Row, I'd love to see a rematch here between Hit Row and the Usos. No, like the Usos finish, the 1D, this was one and done. That's exactly what this is. This is one and done. I don't know what you do from here. You know, if you're a tag team in WWE, you build to an eventual match for the tag team championship. Well, Hit Row got their tag team championship match. They did not impress. They lost. And now it's like, where do they go from here? Now there'll be a team that they could throw out there on SmackDown if they need a team maybe to put over another team. You can kind of throw Hit Row out there. Would a heel turn benefit them? A heel turn doesn't really change the whole dynamic of the team as far as what we're seeing when the bell rings. The problem here is Top Dollar. You know, B-Fab is on the outside. She's the manager. Ashanti is perfectly serviceable. He was showing some personality out there, doing a little dance. You know, he was doing fine. He was doing fine, but then Top Dollar comes in, and I don't get it. I'm sorry, I don't get it. And I don't see this going anywhere. Maybe going back down to NXT would benefit them. But based on what I saw here tonight, Death Row is not going anywhere. So, we had a gauntlet match to determine a new number one contender for the SmackDown Women's Championship and Ronda Rousey. And it was Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Sonya Deville, Tegan Nox, Emma, and Xia Li. As I mentioned before, the piped-in crowd noise was even more noticeable here in this match. Emma and Xia started us out. Emma hit a butterfly suplex and an Emma sandwich in the corner for two. Xia fired back with a cyclone kick and a pinfall on Emma for the first elimination. We weren't even 2 minutes into the match. Beat her with the cyclone kick. Tegan Nox was out next for revenge for Xia attacking her during the women's tag team title match last week, costing her and Liv the tag team titles, potentially, against Damage Control. And I don't know, did Michael Cole, I don't believe they even really explained exactly why Xia Li came out there dressed in a hoodie to interfere. I proposed last week that it was just her being tired of sitting and catering, and she just wanted some attention and she wanted to get some television time. That's as good an explanation as any, but they really didn't dive into it here. But Tegan went after her, took her down with a flurry of strikes, landed a top rope crossbody for two. Both women ended up on the apron. Zaya sent Tegan into the ring post. Another cyclone kick from Zaya connects to the back of the head, and it's bye-bye Tegan Knox ahead of the commercial break. Raquel was out next during the break as the next entrant with her broken elbow in a brace. And not only does she have a broken elbow in storyline, and she's wearing this brace, but Michael Cole on commentary acknowledged that the elbow was re-injured last week when Ronda and Shayna attacked her in the back. So they allowed this woman to come out here with a re-injured broken elbow. Great WWE medical staff they have here. What's the point of even having a medical staff if you're going to clear somebody who has a supposed broken elbow? But here she was, the one-armed woman, out there trying to win a gauntlet match. Zaya connected with a running knee lift to Raquel while Raquel was hanging off the apron. That's the same spot that Hikaru Shida and Jamie Hayter did in their championship match on Wednesday, which was by far better than what we saw here. Holy shit. I mean, you talk about apples and oranges. Wow. This was not that. But they did the same spot. Raquel made a comeback. She hit a corkscrew splash for a near fall. Zaya tried for another cyclone kick, but Raquel ducked it and got her up for the Tejana bomb. And Zaya Lee, well, Zaya made it, you know, she made it almost to the middle of this thing. But Raquel got the elimination. So Liv Morgan was out next. She went for a code breaker. Raquel was too strong, though, and held her in the air. Liv escaped and landed some running knees in the corner. She went for a flying head scissors, but again, Raquel held on to her. Liv turned it into a roll-up, though. Only got two. Liv applied a sleeper hold on Raquel's back, and we got another commercial break after this. Raquel landed a back elbow and a lariat, and then a side slam. Liv fired back with an arm breaker and a double stomp to the injured arm. She went to the second rope for a shotgun drop kick, and she got a 2 count out of it. Liv transitioned out of the pin into the rings of Saturn, and she was trying to get the submission here. Of course, she didn't get it because Raquel was the heroic babyface fighting from underneath. She thinks she's going to tap out? Please. Raquel eventually powered to her feet. She landed a fallaway slam and a corkscrew elbow from the second rope. Liv tried for oblivion. Here's where it just kind of went out with a giant fart. Liv went for her oblivion finish. And, you know, watching her go for the oblivion, it's like they're moving in slow motion. So she goes for the oblivion. And before she can bounce off the ropes and complete the move, Raquel grabs a hold of her. And Raquel delivers a very, very weak-looking Tejana bomb. Weak enough that I was kind of hoping they would call an audible and do it over again or just give her a second one. But she gave her this awful-looking Tejana bomb, and she pinned her, and so Liv Morgan was eliminated. This was bad. Sonya Deville was out next. She immediately attacked Raquel's arm. Sonya stuffed the body slam attempt and hit a running knee strike to the jaw for a close near fall. She followed up by sending Raquel into the ring post and slammed her bad arm into the post a couple of times. Eventually, Raquel made a comeback. This all built to Raquel coming back with another bad-looking Tejana bomb that Sonya did not kick out of. And so she gets the win, Raquel does, but she has no time to celebrate because immediately they hit Ronda Rousey's music and out comes the SmackDown Women's Champion. She walks out on stage and she tells Raquel, not so fast, this gauntlet's not over yet. She has one more opponent. That brought out Shayna Baszler. And Shayna Baszler gets in the ring. And the first thing she does is she pulls off Raquel's protective arm brace. And she starts stomping on the elbow. Shayna then poses with the brace. It's almost like out of Mortal Kombat, right? When you have the person's head and you're holding it up high. So she's holding the brace up in the air like a trophy. And she's smiling. And as she's doing this, she gets surprised by a roll-up from behind. and pinned by Raquel. So Raquel wins the gauntlet and gets a championship match next Friday in Tampa against Ronda Rousey. Let's get the poll. My second grievance of the night. I don't think they could have made Shayna Baszler look like more of a fucking loser if they tried. That was a horrendous finish. An absolutely god-awful finish to this match. And it did not do the other women in the match any favors either, by the way, to get beaten by the one-armed woman. And to get beaten by the one-armed woman who is trying to sell the fact that she has this supposedly broken arm, and so she can't get the full strength that she would, or the full lift that she would normally get in her finishing move. The problem is, she hits these Tejana bombs and they look fucking dreadful. And these women have to sell for it and lay there and get pinned. So I don't see how this benefited anybody. I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to tell the heroic underdog babyface story with Raquel fighting back from injury to get the win. And she outlasts these five other women. Now she's going to get her big championship match with Ronda Rousey, the woman who broke her elbow. It's a very basic story. I just think the execution of this sucked. And this match sucked. This was no good. And I don't see how this benefited anybody. Other than Raquel, and even Raquel. I mean, did this really do much for her? I don't think so. So I thought that this was a fail all around. And because she didn't have the usual juice that she does with that finishing move, she just made everybody else look bad. So they aired highlights from last week's show, with LA Knight stomping Bray Wyatt in the corner as Uncle Howdy appeared. Uncle Howdy appeared in person, in the flesh, live in the arena for the first time. And he stood there and he left. So they had a graphic up before the commercial break that said Bray Wyatt vindicated with a question mark. Bray was going to be out for a promo next. So Bray Wyatt got his full entrance. He got in the ring, and he said that one of the hardest things in the world for him to do is to come out and talk to crowds with the world, watching at home. Says that he doesn't think that he'll ever get used to people wanting to see him and getting excited to see him. He tries to present us with the realest version of him, but he doesn't know if there is a real version of him. That's a key line that we'll come back to later. But he knows one thing, LA Knight owes him an apology, because LA Knight didn't believe him when he said that, I didn't attack you, I didn't put my hands on you, dude. That was someone else, or Uncle Howdy, that wasn't me. He said LA Knight didn't believe him, and all you people didn't believe me either. He said, come on, be honest. You thought it was me too, didn't you? He said that he was not Uncle Howdy. He never was Uncle Howdy. And then he lost his train of thought. And he apologized, and he bent over as if he had a bad case of food poisoning, and he dropped the microphone on the mat, and then all of a sudden, he lunged at the cameraman in the corner, and he applied the mandible claw. And we've seen him do this before. The Fiend, right? I mean, we saw Mankind do it back in the day, but the Fiend adopted the mandible claw as his finish, or one of his finishing maneuvers. At least when the Fiend would apply the mandible claw, he was wearing a glove. He wasn't even wearing a glove. He just took his fingers and he stuck them down this guy's throat. Hell of a thing to come to work and be told, hey, here's what you're doing tonight. We're going to have this guy, and he's going to take his finger, his dirty, disgusting fingers, and he's going to shove them right down your throat. How do you feel about that? So he puts his hands down this guy's throat. Adam Pearce and other officials run down to the ring. They frantically run down to the ring. Pierce is yelling at Bray to let go of the guy as they're trying to drag him out of the ring to safety. And finally, they get him out of there. And the segment closed with a crazed, wide-eyed look on Bray's face. This was camera cuts galore. When Bray put the mandible claw on this guy, it was, I hope you don't get queasy watching this show, because this was camera cut city here. But I will say it was nice to see Bray get physical. And again, to go back to that line about him, I'm not even sure if there is a real me. I kind of heard that and thought, okay, something's happening at the end of this segment. I thought that was kind of a bad omen of something that was about to happen. I didn't know he was going to attack the cameraman, but that's what he did. As far as him using the mandible claw, it could be a sign that we're going to see the Fiend. And again, I don't think the Fiend is going to be his final form. I don't think the Fiend is coming back and it's just going to be Bray Wyatt the Fiend. But one of these weeks, we're probably going to get him dressed up as the Fiend. Because this is a guy who admitted, I don't even know who I am. He's trying to find himself. He's trying to figure out who he is and what his identity is. So this could be a sign that we're going to get the Fiend back at some point soon. Maybe once he actually gets in the ring with LA Knight, it's not Bray Wyatt in the ring with LA Knight. It could be the Fiend, right? So that's kind of how I read that. After the break, we were told that Adam Pearce had Bray removed from the building. And they kind of teased that there could be consequences for what he did to the cameraman. And I heard that, and my fear is that we're going to get another suspension storyline, right? Although Adam Pearce fired Bobby Lashley, what was it, 2 weeks ago? And then the very next day went on social media in a video and unfired him. So just because somebody gets suspended doesn't necessarily mean anything. But that's kind of what it sounded like to me, is that there's some kind of punishment potentially coming for him. And I think that would be awful. Because all that does is just drag this out even more. And the fact is, we are heading into a very big SmackDown next week, right? They're promoting a lot of things for the show next week. I would expect Bray Wyatt to be on the show or there to be some kind of development in the Bray Wyatt story. Maybe LA Knight will cut a promo or something. We need some sort of announcement about a match between these two, which probably is not going to happen until the Royal Rumble. But there has got to be some kind of announcement made either next week or the first SmackDown of the new year. They've got to get to the next part of whatever this is. Meaning, in ring with Bray Wyatt and LA Knight, which is who he is feuding with right now. I just don't want to feel as if this is just treading water here, which is kind of what this feels like. And I don't know if anybody else noticed this. I didn't notice it last week. He may have been wearing it last week too. Bray Wyatt had a knee brace on. He had a knee brace on his left knee. And I saw that, and I thought to myself, well, that could be an explanation for why we haven't seen him getting very physical so far. Outside of a couple of spots, he hasn't wrestled a match, even dark matches, right? He hasn't done anything really physical since he came back. He's been back now for 2.5 months. The man is back for 2.5 months. He's not had a single match. He's being promoted from Madison Square Garden on Monday. Again, not for a match. He'll make an appearance. And I get Triple H maybe wanting to kind of hide him a little bit. We're going to use Bray as a special attraction. We don't want to overexpose him. And I think there's something to that. I'm not saying Bray Wyatt should be on television wrestling jobbers every single week like any other person. But I'm saying we have now reached a point. We are approaching 3 months since he came back to WWE. Now, I see the knee brace, and it's entirely possible that they have kept him out of the ring because there's some sort of injury. It can't be that serious, because if it was, he wouldn't be appearing on television as often as he is. He'd be at home recuperating, but I don't know. I mean, to me, that's a bad sign. And it could explain why they're kind of moving so slowly with this thing. It could be some sort of cover for an injury. So that'll be something to keep an eye out on, if he's still wearing the knee brace again the next time we see him. But I hadn't noticed it before tonight. And it's possible he's been wearing it. You know, they dim the lights in the arena, so it's kind of hard to see. But if you go back, you could clearly see on his left knee he's wearing a brace. The right knee is fine, but he's wearing one on the left knee. Hey, shout out to Mr. X, who just became a Sound Off superstar. Our newest channel member, hey, Mr. X. Merry Christmas, or Happy Hanukkah, whatever you may be selling, or just Happy Festivus. Here's the poll for you. There you go. Hey, Angel Silva, thank you for the $4.99. The Bliss fan thinks that the knee brace is part of the story, I don't know what part of the story that would be. It's not been mentioned. It's not been focused on. And, you know, a lot of things in the Bray Wyatt story aren't necessarily just kind of thrown right in front of your face. It's kind of subtle little Easter egg type stuff. But I'm open to know exactly what the story would be behind the brace, because I'm drawing a blank here. Is there some part of the story here that I missed that would explain why he would be wearing a knee brace? I think it's more likely that it's some sort of minor injury and he's not 100% yet. That would explain why he has not been back in the ring. Speaking of injuries, Rey Mysterio, all recovered from his injury, was back in the ring tonight against Angel Garza, who is back to just going by Angel. I thought he got his last name back. Didn't he and Humberto get their last names back some time ago? Apparently not. Apparently he's back to just being Angel. They show Karrion Kross and Scarlett watching from the crowd. Garza mocked Mysterio's size, so Rey slapped him in the face. They did some lucha-style wrestling here. Mysterio hit a top rope senton and then went for the 619. But Humberto pulled Garza out of the ring. And so Mysterio took out Carrillo with a dive. Mr. X says, I guess I celebrate Christmas. After all, my avatar has a dog called Santa's Little Helper. The avatar is so small, I can't even see. I couldn't even see what it is. But anyway, Merry Christmas to Mr. X. So he took out Humberto with a dive. Mysterio ended up hitting the 619 on Angel and then followed with a slingshot DDT from the apron into the ring for the win. They only gave these two guys 4 minutes. I actually wish they would have given them longer to go out there and just let them go balls to the wall. But for what we got, as short as it was, I thought it was good. After the match, Rey stood on the ropes and stared down Kross and Scarlett, and Kross pointed to his watch. So, after the break, Kross and Scarlett were shown walking the hallway in the back. And Emma walked up to Scarlett and asked who they thought they were to disrespect a legend like Rey Mysterio. And then she mentioned her being Scarlett, calling Riddick an idiot. And this was a few weeks ago. And Scarlett said that she didn't call him an idiot, she called him a fool. And Emma hauled off and slapped her right across the face, and Scarlett made like she wanted to attack her. Kross calmed her down, and then Karrion looked at Emma and said, you have no idea what you just did. My big takeaway from this segment is, it sounds to me like we may finally be done with Madcap. There may not be a Madcap anymore. He might be back to Riddick Moss. I don't think she... Well, first of all, it's a taped show. So there's no way that we got a Riddick name drop and it was an accident on a fucking taped show. So if that is the case, hallelujah. I don't know why it took this long. They got rid of the suspenders and the goofy gear he was wearing and they kept the name. Riddick is a better name than Madcap. Even if you don't think Riddick is a good name for Moss, it's still better than fucking Madcap. So hopefully that was not a mistake, and hopefully that is a sign that Madcap is no more. And it looks like we're going to get a singles match with Scarlett, but it looks like we're going to be getting a mixed tag soon. Michael Cole then introduced us to a long history segment for John Cena, set to the tune of Fort Minor's Remember the Name, showing highlights from his entire career. This was a long, it's like 5 minutes long. Highlights from his entire career, highlights from him doing Make-A-Wish stuff, highlights of him doing stuff with the troops for tribute to the troops and the military. So this was to get everybody excited to see the return of John Cena next week. We also got another vignette for Lacey Evans, hyping her return next week. The latest one, as they try yet again and fail with her, I'm sure. Our main event was the Miracle on 34th Street fight. Braun Strowman and Ricochet, his flippy friend, taking on Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci of Imperium. There was no Gunther this week. It was just Vinci and Kaiser. This was a basic street fight. They had Christmas trees and gift boxes strewn all over the stage, placed everywhere. Michael Cole complained that the cameraman was eating the cookies off one of the tables at ringside. And he says that the cookies are for the match. He called him an idiot. Not a good night to be a cameraman in WWE. So Kaiser pulled Ricochet to the floor, rolled him, or tossed him, into the ring. He rolled Ricochet into the ring steps like a bowling ball. He threw him into the ring steps. Nick wants to know, does this mean that Scarlett is going to wrestle now? I mean, I think the idea was always that Scarlett would wrestle at some point. I mean, that's why they didn't have her and Karrion Kross together when he initially debuted on the main roster, because they wanted her to wrestle. But she had, I think she suffered some sort of boob injury, which is why she never did debut on TV. I know that's a very crude way of describing that, but that's, I think, basically what happened. But yes, I would imagine that she's going to be getting into the ring at least for a mixed tag. But anyway, so I'm glad that Brumakian picked up on the pun that I went for there. We had the Kaiser roll. He rolled Ricochet into the ring steps. Boy, you people need everything spelled out for you, don't you? I'll talk slower. So Kaiser and Vinci attacked Strowman with a series of chop blocks, kept him on the ground. Eventually, though, he got to his feet, dumped both Kaiser and Vinci to ringside. Ricochet ran the barricade, hit a flying head scissors that sent Vinci flying into the barricade, heading into the final ad break of the night. Strowman caught Vinci with a right hand that opened him up next to his left eye, and they showed a replay of it, so he potatoed him. And he busted him open pretty good. Or maybe it was the left eye. It was the left eye that he opened up. On stage, Strowman tossed Vinci and Kaiser into the gift boxes and the Christmas trees. They came back to deliver a double suplex to Strowman on stage. Back at ringside, there was a chair shot to Ricochet's back while he was on the apron. He had his back turned. And he was getting ready to do some sort of springboard move into the ring. But before he could even get up off the ground, and it might have been Kaiser, who caught him in the back of the head with a chair shot. It looked like it caught him right by, you know, like almost like his brainstem, like the bottom part of his head. And Ricochet immediately grabbed his head and went down to the ground. And I didn't see any blood. It's not like there was a pool of blood all of a sudden on the floor. But it was pretty clear that he got bonked in the back of the head. And it was after this that Braun and Imperium spent several minutes brawling over on stage, and Ricochet was taken out of the equation. Now, if you remember last week, they taped two shows. While we were on the stream, there were people who were tweeting that Ricochet may have gotten injured at the taping during this match. And there was one photo on social media that showed Ricochet outside the ring being tended to by people. It looked like maybe he was hurt. It's hard to see what was going on. So I'm guessing that what happened is he got hurt. He may have been busted open himself. We already had Vinci busted open. Ricochet may have also been busted open. But I'll bet anything that that photo that was floating around was from that moment in this match. So while they were brawling on stage, the referees and people were tending, and the trainers were tending to Ricochet. And if he was bleeding, they had enough time to clean him up. It's Bully the Christmas Clown, everybody, from Bobbert Reviews, dropping a $30 Bully the Clown super chat here on this Festivus stream. Bobbert, thank you, brother. It says, happy holidays. I watch the replays of your podcast and your streams while doing my morning workout with Ring Fit Adventure. Hope you had a great 2022. We had the best year ever for the show and for the channel, and hopefully we'll have an even bigger and better year in 2023 because of people like you. So, Bobber, thank you for the $30. Have yourself a very merry weekend and a very happy new year. So, anyway, that's my guess as far as Ricochet getting hurt. That's probably where it happened. Obviously, he wasn't hurt that badly because he got back into the match. And if he was bleeding, they cleaned him up pretty good. There was no sign of anything after this. But back over by the stage, there were two giant boxes set up. So Vinci and Kaiser go over to the first box on the left, and they open it up, and out of the box comes a ballerina who begins dancing, and they're playing music in the background as the ballerina dances away. So then they walk over to the other box that was set up, and they open it, and out of the box come Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, who have their NXT Tag Team Championship belts around their waist, but they're dressed up and moving around like a couple of Nutcracker statues. And they march out of the box, and they turn to Vinci and Kaiser, and Woods kicks one of them in the balls, and then Kofi kicks the other one in the balls. And then they walk over to Strowman, and they give him a salute. So that was the New Day's big cameo here on this show, as a couple of Nutcrackers. So then Braun Strowman, who is over by the stage after he is saluted by the Nutcracker New Day, decides to charge on down to the ring, and you know what followed. All aboard, everybody! The Strowman Express! And Braun Strowman comes down to ringside, and he barrels over Ludwig Kaiser with a shoulder block. He barrels over Giovanni Vinci with a shoulder block. I think he came around twice, gave him even more shoulder blocks, and down go Imperium. So Ricochet was down at ringside. Strowman goes over. And Braun, look at this guy. We go from Bully the Clown to Braun the Clown. It's just a regular fucking circus here on this stream. You like that, huh? The Strowman Express, just in time for the holidays. So Braun goes over, and he grabs some mistletoe. He's going to try to revive Ricochet. Now, don't get the wrong idea, because it's not Braun who's going to try to give Ricochet his second wind. He drags Ricochet over to Samantha Irvin, the ring announcer, and he holds the mistletoe above Ricochet's head, and he tells Samantha to come over and give him a kiss. And Samantha Irvin comes over, and she plants a kiss on Ricochet. And all of a sudden, Ricochet just snaps back to life. Like he has this new energy about him. I have this new energy about me just watching this. I can only imagine what Ricochet must feel like, right? So now Ricochet, it's almost like it's a video game, and he's gotten a power-up. And now all of a sudden, his energy bar has been refilled, and Ricochet is back into this match. He's like a new man now. And Ricochet does a springboard forearm off the ropes, takes out Vinci. Strowman drove Kaiser through a table outside that had cookies on it, put him through it with a powerbomb. Ricochet hit the recoil to Vinci. Strowman followed with a running power slam. Strowman goes to the corner. Ricochet goes to the top. He climbs on top of Strowman's shoulders and just sort of falls off with a very basic splash and covers Vinci for the win. So this was a fun main event. It was the usual, holiday silliness that you get on these shows with, all the different weapons. And I think they had the candy cane kendo sticks here. It's stuff that you would expect around the holidays, right? They do this for Halloween. They do this for Thanksgiving. They do this for Christmas. What other holiday? Do they have any silly matches for any of the other holidays? They do anything for Valentine's? I don't think so, but I thought it was fun. It was edited to all hell. Again, I'm guessing because of the Ricochet injury. But it was a fun end to an otherwise throwaway show. I thought overall this was a very boring, dull episode of SmackDown. It peaked in a way with the Sammy promo at the very beginning with the Bloodline. But again, I enjoyed the main event for what it was. It's okay to smile and have fun with the silliness. Sometimes the crowd was into it. Not the way that I would like to see Imperium used, but at least Walter wasn't there. At least they didn't get Walter involved in the silliness. So I thought it was fine. The rest of the show, very forgettable. The Big Show, well, not that Big Show. The Big Show is next week. It is John Cena coming back, tagging with Kevin Owens against Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. We have Ronda Rousey defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against the broken elbow of Raquel Rodriguez. And we have Solo Sikoa is going to try to take out Sheamus. Those matches have been announced next week. I assume we'll get some sort of update on Bray Wyatt and what his punishment is going to be after what he did this week. So it's going to be a big show. They're back live next Friday. Get out of here. Control this. Braun. Let's go to the poll. A different poll. We have polls galore tonight. This is the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown or Festivus? You want a sign of how dead it is this time of year? We don't even have 500 votes yet in this poll. That's the lowest. This is probably the lowest total that there's been since I've been going to these polls. 420 votes so far. We've got 47.6% thumbs up, 31% thumbs in the middle, and 21% thumbs down. That is not a good score. Hey, Deputy Dog, no, I don't believe they are dating anymore. He's asking about Braun and Raquel. I don't believe they are. So this poll sounds about right. Again, not a very good episode of SmackDown. But I'll tell you what is going to be a very good episode. The Sound Off on Sunday. You get a brand new episode. There isn't a whole lot of news to cover, but there's a few things. We're going to talk about Miro and that whole situation. But Sunday is also going to be my top 15 matches of 2022. We do it every year. I have condensed it down and ranked the 15 best matches of the year. We're going to be doing that on the Sound Off on Sunday, plus Wrestler of the Year, Tag Team of the Year, Show of the Year. We're going to do all the awards. So it's going to be a very special episode, 788. Dropping on Sunday, so make sure you watch out for that. All right, let's head on over here to your Super Chats. The Rated R Superstar. Thank you to everybody who has dropped a dono. Like I said, it is the airing of grievances tonight. If you have grievances to air, get them on in. And we'll read them and we'll go through these. Again, thank you again to Joshua Edwards for gifting 25. That's why we see a sea of green in the chat. 25 and the spiffy badges. Some people have a different logo badge depending on how long you've been a channel member for. But yes, Joshua Edwards, thank you for that. Yes, there will be a new show on Sunday. This train doesn't stop. This train keeps on rolling. Doesn't matter what holiday it is. So you're getting a new podcast on Sunday. I don't know why you would expect any differently. It's my Christmas gift to all of you. So when you're trying to pull yourself away from the in-laws or the relatives that you really don't want to be hanging out with, now you'll have something to occupy your time. We have got Regina DeFistbump with the $2 Super Chat. What happens first, John Cena number 17, or Vince McMahon books WWE again? We will get John Cena number 17 at some point. The clock is ticking, but I think we have a better chance of getting number 17 than Vince booking again. The God of Seduction is back to drop a $10 Super Chat. It snowed today in the city. It's a Festivus miracle. Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. Hit Row sucks. Chad Gable isn't being used right. There aren't enough backstage fights, and Bray is stale. Uh-oh. Don't let BlizzFan hear that. Joshua Edwards dropping in earlier to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. Liquid Sharingan has been a channel member, a Sound of Legend. It's the highest tier for 8 months. Renewing his membership here. 4 more months to a full year. Let's go, baby. I feel for Adam Cole. Hopefully he is well. Apparently Adam Cole is doing better, which is good to hear, but they're being very cautious with him. So I say just take your time. As long as he's healthy and he's able to come back. He'll come back sometime in the new year. That's all that matters. But apparently he is doing better, so that's a good thing. Shin Super Kick Your Eye Out Akuma. 2 words. Flop Dala. I have been saving that. Flop Dala indeed. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury with the $5 super chat. Merry Christmas, Sala Monster, and everybody. I am making honey ham and hot chocolate. Grab a plate and a mug. I don't need the hot chocolate, but I'll take that honey ham. Serve me up a few slices. Lakers Pats 1. Vince, Mandy, Lacey News, Triple H can't get time to rest. Black Wolf Inc. $5 super chat. Also, given the chances of it happening are less than 3%, and that's being nice, how would you book an AEW against WWE Forbidden Door show? Happy holidays. I'm sure I would put together an amazing card. But as far as how it would be booked, I mean, it's not a matter of how it would be booked. I would put together the card that I think is the strongest. I would try to... I don't think it has to be an even number straight down the middle, but you want to try to be fair. You give some wins to one brand, you give some wins to the other brand. I think you want to do something involving FTR and the Usos. Maybe get the Young Bucks involved, but there's a lot of great tag teams. You can get the Lucha Bros involved. I think doing something probably with the Bucks, FTR, and the Usos all in one match would be the way to go. Especially if I only thought of, I had one shot at this, right? If this wasn't going to be an annual thing, I'd want to get all three in the ring together. So I think that would be one obvious match. Yeah, you could do like Seth Rollins and Kenny Omega. I mean, there's so many different combinations that you could put together. So I'd have to sit down and book out a whole card, but it would be a great card. I'm not going to book anything that isn't great. It would be an amazing card. It would be one for the ages. We would have Triple H against Tony Khan. It would be great. Black Wolf also says, I really believe the fall of Sami Zayn will be similar to Fredo Corleone. One day you're on top, the next you're sleeping with the fishes. The Real Dirty Dan, $5 super chat. I will listen to every available episode of the Sound Off to be number one in Wrapped next year. I listened to 286 today. Highlight was Rhodes, Brothers, and The Shield. From episode 286. My God, what was that? 2013, probably? Yeah, Spotify Wrapped, they do that thing at the end of every year. It tells you how many minutes you've been listening to your favorite podcast. And I forget who it was, but the winning number, I think, was like 29,000 minutes listening to the Sound Off and all the various reviews that I upload as well, which is amazing. So the Real Dirty Dan is going to try to set the record next year. Black Wolf is back again. Should WWE have the Usos merge the titles into one and Triple H maybe reviving the World Tag Team Championships for Raw? They should not do anything until the Usos lose the belt. Same thing with Roman Reigns. Once that happens, you can split the titles. But until then, they are the undisputed champions. They should remain undisputed champions until new champions are crowned, and then you make that move. If there's a draft in April, it's the perfect opportunity to separate the world titles, the two top titles, and to separate the tag team belts if that's what Triple H wants to do. You don't do it now because you don't really have the opportunity to do it now. You're heading into WrestleMania season. You want to have an undisputed championship match. You want to have an undisputed tag team championship match. You wait until after WrestleMania and then you split the titles. Now, the question of whether or not we even need separate tag team titles is a valid question. I'm not sure we do, to be perfectly honest with you. The top titles, that probably will happen. But nothing should be done until after they're dropped. ADTR, what's going on, ADTR 210? Happy Festivus, everybody. Happy Festivus to you as well, ADTR. Queen Fire Panda, Christmas at Sala Monster's house. I don't think I have enough room for everybody. But if I did, you would all be invited. We'd have one big Christmas party. Slim Yoshi, Merry Christmas, Sala Monster. Hope you have a great Christmas weekend as well, everybody in the chat. Well, I will tell you right now that I will be working all weekend in preparation for the podcast on Sunday, because I am nowhere near being... I still haven't even watched NXT yet this week, so... I'll be working my entire Christmas weekend, but I hope whatever you're doing, you will be enjoying yourself and spending time with loved ones. Scorp's Abandonment with that $50 super chat drop from earlier, which I've already read. So, Scorp's, again, thank you, brother. Merry Christmas to you. Lost the Sauce Boss, $4.99. A lot of dandruff falling from your ceiling, Solo. Might want to get that checked out. Shout out to Minnesota Plows for burying my Corolla in the snow. Well, you know, we have to have the snow falling here in the live streams. It's always snowing in here this time of year. Yeah, isn't it always fun when the plows come around and they just kind of blockade you in? I know it's going to happen this year. I'll park my car, the plows will come, I won't be able to move my car for 2 weeks. Happens every year. Shout out to all you people with driveways. You suck. Food Hive, can we just fast forward to the Royal Rumble, please? Yeah, I wish we could. I wish we could just push the button and just get to the Rumble already. Angel Silva, $4.99. Keep three, throw away one. HBK, Bret, Flair, or Rock? Me personally, I'm throwing Bret away. I know he's your favorite, but sorry, not sorry. So I'm keeping three and I'm throwing one away. I'm keeping Bret. I am keeping HBK. And I am... Keeping HBK, keeping Bret. And I'll keep... Gosh, you know, it's hard. It's hard. I throw Flair away, I lose the 92 Rumble. I mean, this is a no-win situation for me here. That's tough. But you know what? I'm gonna keep Bret. I'm gonna keep Shawn. And I'm going to keep Flair and dump the Rock. I'm sorry. I have to do it. Angel Silva, also, where is Sound of Gamer? If you finish the men's career mode, you should try a playthrough the ladies' career mode. That would be awesome content. Yeah, we fell off the Sound of Gamer. I'm kind of waiting now for this Fight Forever game to come out. We still don't have a release date, by the way. No release date has been given for the AEW game. We've been waiting months to at least find out what the date would be, and they still haven't told us. But when Fight Forever drops, we will... probably resume Sound of Gamer at that point. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey. Happy holidays to you, Solomonster. Happy holidays to you, too. Tomas. You may have a little surprise coming next week. That's all I'm going to say about that. Hey, Lorenzo. Shout out to Lorenzo3000 in the chat. Says, let's be honest about Hit Row. They are absolutely terrible without Swerve. He was literally carrying the stable on his back. Without him, we just see how limited they all are. Food Hive. I'm so happy Tony Khan did not bring Bray into AEW. Can you imagine the same creative vision with Bray in AEW? Tony Khan would be getting filleted. I almost said filleted. Filleted online for ruining Bray. We'd see Bray even less if he was in AEW. You think we haven't seen much of anything new with Bray here in WWE. At least he's making appearances every week. In AEW, he would have showed up once and then he would have disappeared for 4 months. DEH Sires, $4.99 super chat. Save Ashanti the Adonis by pairing him with Carmelo and Trick, two guys that have charisma. And have Melo be the leader and Ashanti and Trick the team. It may be the only way to save Adonis, honestly. I feel like Top Dollar is just dragging him down. It's like an anchor, you know? Food Hive. Tonight, homemade honey chipotle chicken tenders. Ooh, sounds very good. Hey, Jameel, thank you. That sounds delicious. Slipper House Extra Extra, $9.99 Super Chats. Howdy, should be Bray managing a non-injury prone Bo Dallas. Bray can complain and whine all he wants as a manager. As of now, this storyline is stale. It is time to slither snail. Happy holidays, boss. Happy holidays to you as well. And happy holidays to Perk Angle joining us here on the stream. Bobbert Reviews with that $30 Bully the Clown super chat earlier on says, I watched the, again, replays of your podcast while he works out, which is very cool. Extra motivating. That's what I like to hear. Gets the heart rate up. Mr. X, am I the only one who thought that Braun was going to turn on Ricochet? I thought he was going to turn on Ricochet when he was holding the mistletoe above his head. Oh, you mean turn on in a different way. I see. No, I didn't expect it because Braun still hasn't gotten his match with Gunther. So it would make no sense for him to turn heel before he gets his Intercontinental title match. Black Wolf, thank you for the $4. Bret Hart in the chat is very excited that his super chat triggered Perk Angle. I just made his night. Plus Ultra Adrian, I wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. I hope you and your family have a safe and fun holiday. Well, thank you very much. That's very nice of you, and you as well. Steve wants to know when Chris Statlander is coming back. Not for at least several more months. Let's just say this. She's not close to a return. Thunder Rosa will be back before Chris Statlander is back. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flavor. The Good Son scenario. Save one and let the other one go. Gunther or Wardlow? Oh, I'm saving Gunther. Sam Dankman Weed with a $5 super chat. Mary Chrysler Solo. Word on the street is there is footage of you as Alex Wright in full ring gear, signature dance, and all. Well, there was, but I have burned that footage. It no longer exists. Scorp's Abandonment. 50 wasn't enough. He drops another $20 super chat. Hey, Scorp's. You're awesome. Have you ever interviewed any wrestlers in person or online? If so, which was your favorite and least favorite interview and why? I have interviewed dozens of wrestlers in person and online. In fact, if you are on the YouTube channel right now, if you go to the About section on the YouTube page, I list almost every name that I've interviewed. And out of all of them, my favorite one, and I've done some really fun ones too. I don't want to leave people out, but the sit-down interview in person that I did at WrestleCon back in 2017 with Mean Gene Okerlund, which is on the channel as well if you search, that was a special moment for me because I grew up watching this man on television. Mean Gene still to this day, after 40 years, is still the standard when it comes to, you know, the backstage interviewer in wrestling. And to be able to talk to him and pick his brain for a few minutes and have him pay me compliment. I mean, it was just like, it's one of those things, and now he's since passed away, obviously. It's just one of those things that you'll always remember. So I'm glad I was able to do that and get that on video. But yeah, no, I've done a ton of interviews. So find them. A lot of them are on YouTube. Audio and video. Justin Jack with a super chat. Thank you, Justin Jack. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flavor. A 2-on-1 Home Alone cinematic match during the holidays. Name two mystery tag teams against a mystery wrestler. I have no idea. I don't know. I have no clue. The Mount Vernon Kid. Christopher Bennett, $5 super chat. Just want to say have a Merry Christmas from myself and my younger brother, Hulkling93. Look forward to the sound off on Christmas. I did not know that Hulkling93 was your little brother. That is very cool. Merry Christmas to both of you. Dan Richards, happy holidays. Thanks for another great year of content. You have a breakout star for 2023. I think that Ricky Starks is kind of already on his way to that. I think Ricky Starks could absolutely be a breakout star in AEW in 2023. I think that in WWE, we're going to get a bunch of NXT call-ups. I think Bron Breakker could be a breakout star on the main roster. I think Carmelo Hayes will do well for himself on the main roster. I know they're very high on Von Wagner. I'm not as high as they are on him, but you know, we may see him on the main roster before long. So, I see some of those names, like a Breakker and a Ricky Starks, hopefully having a breakout year next year. Those are some of the names that I'm looking at. Sam Dagman Weed, the best quote is Vince saying when he dies, he wants to go straight to hell. I'm sure he'll be there. We've got deep, delicious chicken and turkey with flavor. It's time for Jade Cargill to drop the TBS title. I would book her in a fatal four-way match, and she does not have to take the pin. That is a terrible idea. She is going to be the champion for, I don't even know how many days now she's had the title for, right? She's approaching 50-0. Eventually, she'll be flirting with 50-0. When the time comes for her to lose, she needs to lose. Protecting her and hiding her in a fatal four-way, I don't see what that accomplishes. I mean, there's going to come a point where she has to lose. Right? You win for so long, eventually it has to pay off in a win for someone else, for a babyface to come in and take the title from her. And I think that's just a cheap cop-out way of having her drop the championship. I don't like that idea at all. Who you calling Pinhead? $1.99. The real Dirty Dan. Not if I have anything to do with it. Well, there you go. Bread Heart. Says, book your own random Royal Rumble Sala Monster on Be the Booker someday with 30 wrestlers. Merry Christmas to all the lovely people. That would be a very long Be the Booker segment. You know, somebody wanted to know then who beats Jade. I wanted it to be Chris Statland. And I would still like for it to be Chris Statland. It's a matter of how much longer is she going to be out for. She's going to be out for 4 more months, 3 more months, 2 more months, 6 more months. I mean, it really boils down to when she's going to come back. They could drag this out longer and just wait. Because here's the thing. It's not like she's going to come back and on day one, you're going to put her in a match with Jade. You have to build to that point. So even if Statlander comes back in 3 months, it could be another 3 months before we even get the match. That's another 6 months. I mean, how long do they want to go with this? So if it's not Statlander, because she's just not going to be ready in time, but you want to pull the trigger on a title change in the next few months, which I would like to see them do. Yeah, I mean, there aren't a lot of great options. You know, Athena, they turn heel, and now she's got the Ring of Honor women's title. Jamie Hayter was my backup choice after Statlander went down with an injury, and now she's in a much better position. She's got the main title, which I think is great. So then who else do you go with? I mean, I could see them building Saraya up for that spot. I could see Tony Khan wanting to put the TBS title on Saraya after she racks up a few more wins. Cameron Spencer, do you think WWE uses business as an excuse to justify acting like assholes? Yes. I believe they do. Hey, Scorps. Have yourself a very good weekend, and thank you for the support. I appreciate it. Juan Ocampo, look at this. He's got his name back. No more Philip, huh? He's back to being Juan. I have returned. I feel like John Cena when he returned at the Royal Rumble in 2008. Have a merry Drinkmas as a present. And you ask Plumber Moxley about Kevin Dunn. I could ask. It doesn't mean he's going to answer me. But hey, John, what do you think of Kevin Dunn?
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
There you go. Merry Christmas, Juan. Merry Christmas, bro, bro, bro. Merry Christmas. Slim Yoshi. Favorite Christmas movie? Die Hard. GMB. Hot take. Mello and Trick, most entertaining duo alive. Sam Dankman Weed, $5 super chat. Does Jade have to lose the title? Could she just relinquish it like Stone Cold with the Intercontinental title or Asuka with the NXT title? Yes, she has to lose the title. I think it is the right move to make, that at some point there is a babyface who comes along who can topple the unbeatable heel champion. It does not kill Jade Cargill if she loses one match and drops her championship. So yes, I believe when you have a... It'd be like saying Roman Reigns has been the champion for... What has it been? 800 days? Over 800 days? There's no guarantee he'll lose it at WrestleMania. But let's say we get to WrestleMania. Or WrestleMania time. He retains the title at WrestleMania. And then comes out on Raw that... Well, actually, we know he doesn't show up on Mondays. He shows up on SmackDown that Friday to relinquish the title. Because nobody can beat me. I'm going to go home for a few months. I'm going to relinquish the championship. You can put it up in a tournament. How fucking stupid would that be, right? You build to the big moment where you have somebody who takes the title from the champion. I mean, that's the way you do things here. Winston Smith with the $2 super chat went to a funeral today. Thank you for the stream. I'm very sorry to hear that. I don't know whose funeral it was, but those are no fun. So I'm very sorry to hear that, Winston. GCC305, hey Solo, Merry Christmas. I feel it's going to be Red Velvet who is the one who defeats Jade for the TBS Championship. Have a good night. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but I think that would be underwhelming, I would think. I know she got kicked out of the baddies and she probably wants revenge, but I don't know about that. Food Hive with the $9.99. I've learned to not listen to the sound off while working out. One time I was benching 215. This motherfucker altered his voice and recited a retribution promo, and I laughed so hard, two dudes had to help rack it. Well, let's be honest, two dudes had to help rack it because you couldn't lift the weight. I mean, you can admit it, it's fine. 215 was obviously too much for you, and people had to race over to save your life. You blame me. It's easy to blame me because you can't lift 215, but that's all right. Food Hive is trying to save face here. I don't know. When I'm at the gym and I'm trying to rack, 300, I don't need no help. Liquid Sharingan forgot, who are you again? Hit the like button. Who am I? You have to ask the question of who am I?
I'm the Sala Monster, damn it.
Isn't it obvious who I am? And Deep Delicious, chicken and turkey with flavor. Do you see Asuka turning to the dark side? Yes. Yes, I do. I believe that we will have Dark Asuka coming out of the new year. I don't know that it'll be a return to Kana in the full Kana makeup, but I do think we are going to get a darker side to Asuka when she comes back. I believe she's back in Japan right now. Probably celebrating the holidays. Hopefully she'll have better luck than she's had on the main roster in recent months, because it has not been a very successful few months for Asuka. Darth Asuka, that's right. And by the way, we are getting a new look to AEW Dynamite after the first of the year. Tony Khan has confirmed Dynamite or Rampage will have a new look, probably new graphics, a new set. I don't know if we'll have the two entrance tunnels anymore. I'm excited to see what this new look is going to be for Dynamite. Winston Smith, thanks for the hard work. Favorite Heenan quote, a friend in need is a pest. I like that quote because it's true. Let's see where we are on the likes front. 350 was the goal. We are at 351. Boy, you guys, man. You make it dramatic sometimes. I'll tell you. There's Perk Angle. Look how happy he is. Oh, Perk Angle is so happy that we made the goal tonight. He's like, let's do it. He wants to be the booker, and you know what? So do I.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Let's go. It is a very Merry Christmas installment of Be the Booker. I should have put Santa Claus. I didn't even think to put Santa Claus in here, but we'll have to do without. Very festive edition. Hopefully that will be a good omen for us here. We begin with the Monster Abyss. How many of you remember the name of that the board with the nails in it that he's holding in his hand? I'll give you a hint. It was named after Tony Soprano's sister on The Sopranos. Not really, but they share the same name. Actually, it is the name of, I believe, Dixie's mother, I believe, right? I believe it was Dixie Carter's mother. That is Janice. That is Janice the Board. You know, Abyss is one of those guys who really deserved a main roster run in WWE. And I'm kind of sad that he never got that. Even when he first signed with WWE, I know he's working backstage. It was around the time of the Royal Rumble. And I really was kind of hoping that he would get a cameo in the Rumble so he could at least say that he's wrestled in WWE. We had AJ Styles debuting in the Rumble once upon a time. He got a great reaction. I think there would have been some people who knew who Abyss was. Would have been a nice thing for him, but it was not to be. So let's see who Abyss is going to be stepping into the ring with here, and probably a Full Metal Mayhem or some such match. This is going to be a Full Metal Mayhem match. Abyss one-on-one with the Ultimate Warrior. There's a marquee match for you. Full Metal Mayhem. Abyss and the Ultimate Warrior. Look at this disgusting super chat now over the Ultimate Warrior. Of all people, too. The Ultimate Warrior is not going to be very happy if he sees somebody doing that on his face. But yes, the Ultimate Warrior and Abyss. Full Metal Mayhem. This is why we do this. This is why we do Be the Booker. To come up with matches just like that. Who wouldn't want to see the Ultimate Warrior being slammed into the thumbtacks? Or landing on a giant barbed wire board. Yes, very intense promos. All right, here we go now. Ladies, be the booker. We begin with Nicole Bass. Nicole Bass, everybody. We had a very brief run, very, very brief. In WWE, back in 1999. Monster's Ball. Yeah, it can be a Monster's Ball match. Actually, you know what? That's probably what I was thinking of. I think I was thinking of Monster's Ball. It's basically the same thing, isn't it? Anyway, Nicole Bass. Gonna go one on... What just happened? Oh my God. I thought I saw Roman Reigns there for a second. I'm sorry. I was distracted here by this. You know what? Who is Nikita's opponent? I don't even remember. I'm just giving the bell for Nikita Lyons, everybody. Nikita Lyons. Merry Christmas, everybody. There you go. I'll let you all admire Nikita Lyons from... See, if you're not watching NXT, this is what you're missing out on. I think that's the first time I've ever given the bell just to an image here in Be the Booker. So, we are 2 for 2 so far. So now we're going to try to complete the hat trick. go 3 for 3. We begin with the East-West connection from the AWA, Jesse Ventura and Adrian Adonis. The underrated team that does not get the recognition it deserves. Interesting start here to the tag team, Be the Booker, and it will be the East-West connection stepping into the ring with the men of the year, Scorpio Sky and All Ego Ethan Page. It's a fine undercard match. It's not a main event, but I think that would be a fine match on my undercard. We'll have Nikita in the main event, and then we'll open the show with Monsters Ball, The Ultimate Warrior, and Abyss. See, we are booking quite the pay-per-view here. Beowulf, Thicky the Dragon's. Okay, I'm not going to read that last part, but Thicky the Dragon's Steamboat. That popped me. I'll say that. That got a pop out of me. Thicky the Dragon Steamboat. Liquid Sharingan with the $5 super chat. The TBS title feels too small for Statlander. I feel like she should jump to the main women's title, sort of how Hayter skipped up to that title. Yes, because you're forgetting one very important thing. Chris Statlander has now had back-to-back torn ACLs. And so I would not vault her. I would not vault her immediately into contention for your top women's championship. I would actually, in a way, use the TBS title as a way to kind of just test her out, make sure that health-wise she can stay healthy. And if she can have a solid TBS title run, she could vault herself then up to a world championship match. I would not immediately start building her up for Jamie Hayter or whoever the women's champion is at that time. You know, they need to know that they can trust her and rely on her to stay healthy. Kind of like the whole Tegan Knox thing, you know. She's had a whole bunch of knee injuries. And you have to be cautious with that. And I would build her up. TBS title, I think, would be perfect. And if she can stay healthy, she can have a nice run there. And then eventually she'll challenge for the world championship. There's no rush. Thomas, Merry Christmas, Solomonster, and Sound Off family. And let's all wish Thomas a very Merry Christmas. Zizou with the $4.99. I need to know the episode where you first said the I'm the Solomonster quote. It kills me every time I hear it. I don't know what episode that was. I don't. I wish I could tell you. I just don't remember which one it was. Sam Dankman Weed. Better pin, Nikita or Jenna Maraska? I probably would go with Nikita. Food Hive. I posted a blueberry cobbler on my Instagram story, and one of you soulless MFers sent me a pic of Smurfette. I hate this chat, LOL. You all have infiltrated my Instagram. His Instagram, by the way, is Food Hive. Food, H-Y-V-E. Which one of you was responsible for doing such a thing? It's terrible. I'm sure Food Hive can't wait to get under the mistletoe with Smurfette here this Christmas. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey with Flavor, you are partying with United Empire. Pick one member to be the designated driver. The designated driver in that party? Great O'Conn is part of United Empire, right? Probably Great O'Conn. The model, Thick Martell. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one. I hope you all admire, by the way, this Festivus poll, because you may never see it again. Festivus next year is on a Saturday. It only comes but once a year. As do I. Anthony Dominic, what's up, Solomonster? Pick one wrestler from WWE and one wrestler from AEW that you want to see in a match. I want to see Jamie Hayter and Rhea Ripley, one-on-one. That's a match. That's an interpromotional match that I would like to see. Juan Ocampo says, what is the drink of choice for tomorrow? I will be having Crown Royal Apple and Coke. I don't think I'm drinking tomorrow, but if I were, it would probably be a Jack Daniels and Coke. Go with the tried and true. I may be saving that for the New Year's Eve stream. I'm preparing for New Year's Eve. Ed Weber says, Dante Martin against Ricochet would be his match. Sam Dankman Weed, the $2 super chat says, Thicochet. Maybe Thick Flair. How did we even get on this? This is all because of Be the Booker. Thick Flair is pretty good. Go take a look at some of those early photos of Rick, by the way, when he first debuted. That was Thick Flair right there. Looks like a totally different person. It's in AEW, right? They have their referee, Thick Knox. Under Thicker? I don't even know what that means, but it sounded funny. The Under Thicker? It's appropriate, by the way, we're having this discussion with Russo sitting on my screen. I don't know why that was so funny. The Under Thicker. Thick Steiner. This is supposed to be a Christmas stream. You guys are taking this in a direction that I had not intended. Javon Richards. Javon Richards says Thicky Choshu. Oh my God, I think that wins the night. Thicky Choshu. Oh. A true student of the game is Javon. Thicky Choshu. Holy shit. I like how you're weaving history into this. Thicky Cross. Thicky Starks, of course. Yes, Thicky Starks. Jushin Thunder Cheeks Liger. Thick Boogs. Thick Bockwinkle. Thick Bockwinkle. Thick Gage. It's pretty good. Oh, man. I still think Thicky Choshu is my favorite. And Deep Delicious says, we are all on the naughty list. Yes, indeed. You are all on the naughty list. Not me. I'm an innocent bystander in all this. Thicky Dozan. Yeah, nobody is going to top Thicky Choshu. I'm looking at some of these. I don't think anybody is going to top. Who said that again? Was it Javon? Javon, you win. You win the prize. I don't know what the prize is, but if there were a prize, you would win it. For Thicky Choshu. We are a bunch of children. That's right. We are. And it's Christmas. Children love Christmas. Oh, man. Now I can see why Mandy Rose is going to make $1 million in 2 weeks. Let's wind this down here. Let's go from one poll to the other. Again, you can vote at Solomonster. We still don't have 500 votes in this poll. People are checked out, man. They are checked out this week. I don't know where everybody is. 47% thumbs up, 20% thumbs down for this show. Not a very good episode of SmackDown. Next week is going to be huge, though. Next week is going to be the rebound, and I'm looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. Hopefully you will join me for that. I will be live. Actually, it's going to be a busy week because we have a podcast on Sunday, again, including the top 15 matches of the year, and no Raw stream on Monday. So the next time I will be live with you will be Wednesday. However, I want you to keep your eyes peeled. We have a lot of new channel members here. You guys may be getting early access to a special feature going up, probably early next week, possibly as soon as the end of this weekend, but probably early next week. And then it will go public for everybody else. I know it is something that a lot of you have been waiting on for a very long time. In fact, it has been exactly 1 year since the last time I have done this. Far too long. And so keep an eye out for that. That's my Christmas gift to all of you coming up next week. And live next Friday for SmackDown. And then most likely Saturday next weekend, New Year's Eve. If you're not doing anything, if you're not busy, come on back here. This is our third annual New Year's Eve stream. I hope you will join me. So until then, be well. Stay safe. I want to wish you all who are celebrating a very Merry Christmas. I hope you have a very enjoyable weekend. And say goodbye to Russo Elf. Last time that you will see him and his pole for a very long time. Maybe the last time ever. And thank you for spending your Festivus with me. So until then, I will see you guys for Sound Off 788 on Sunday. Of course, JM has to come in right at the very end here at the buzzer with a $30. It's coming in any second now. $30. I see him coming. He's coming through the flaming hoop. Here comes Bully the Clown. He's coming. He's coming. There he is. There he is. Look how happy he looks. JM with the $30 super chat. Thick the Bruiser, he says. Actually, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Thick the Bruiser. We've got GCC. Boy, everybody's dumping on me here at the last minute. GCC, Adrenaline in my soul. Nikita Cheeks looking swole. Very clever. Deep Delicious Chicken and Turkey says, Thick the Rock Johnson. And Uffman Entertainment, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, season's greetings. Feliz Navidad to you as well. I think Javon and JM win as far as the nicknames. Those were probably the best ones. Tim Lee says, I'm new to this. New to the streams or new to just the general debauchery that has been taking place in these last 10 minutes? Because this doesn't happen all the time. Howard Thickle. I must have missed that one. Someone said Howard Thickle. You know, Howard was probably a freak, right? It's always the quiet ones you gotta worry about. Howard always seemed like the nice guy, the quiet one. He was probably the freakiest of them all. Oh my goodness, Drew Johnson. He wanted to leave his mark here at the end of this stream, dropping a $50 super chat bomb. Yes, 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 Drew Johnson says, Merry Christmas, my friend. And a hearty bro, bro, bro from Mr. Russo to you as well. Merry Christmas, Drew. Dropping 50. That's tied for the top super chat here of the night. And you know what? Since we're in a festive mood, may as well also a Merry Christmas to Kevin Dunn.
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
Ah. I was trying to be nice. Moxley just, he just won't let it go. I tried to be nice to Kevin Dunn. It's not possible. All right, I'll see you guys for 788 on Sunday, and live next week, the final streams of 2022, which I don't know if we could top what we've done here tonight, but we'll try. I'll see you then. Take care, guys. Merry Christmas.